Question. The question is the title, is what we're going to preach on. Condemnation or conviction? Can you discern? How many like to get condemnation out of their life? That's not from God. How about that? All right, let's look to Psalm 95. Talk a little bit about natural sheep, then mainly spiritual sheep. Some of the things we've got to contend with. We may talk a little bit about fear, but one of the biggest things we're going to be talking about is condemnation. Amen. In Psalm 95, verse 1. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Don't let anyone tell you that you don't have a good voice. Because you could just respond by saying, listen, I'm making a joyful noise unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with murmuring and complaining. This is important here. This is how you come before God. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalm. For the Lord is a great God. Now, I know a lot of you are going through some situations, but God is bigger than that. He's bigger than those situations. He's a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. Oh. Who made it? Oh. Rules out what's been taught, still has been taught, teaching at our higher universities about evolution. And it's going even down to the primary grades. Well, we better build a school over here, huh?
Yeah.
Only takes money. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice. Sheep in the natural have constant pests. We talked about this before. You know, it flies and bugs, and especially during the summertime, insects and things like that. There are flies that end up in the sheep's nostrils, and they hatch, and they crawl up into the nasal passages of the sheep. Talk about a sinus headache. There, they buzz around until the sheep are absolutely confounded. Now, think about this, because there are some things that cause you and me to be confounded as spiritual sheep. They become so distracted and tormented that they butt their heads against walls, against fences, against anything to try to get that. You can't explain to them what has just happened to them. They just know something flew up their nose, hatched their eggs in the nasal passages, and now they're making them crazy. Yeah. And they even butt heads with one another. They're confounded. Yeah. Spiritual sheep can get that way. They start butting their heads when they're confounded against walls and against each other and things like that. Of course, not any sheep in this church. Yeah. They become so distracted and tormented, they butt their heads against trees, walls, bushes. Anything to quiet that torment. You can imagine how tormented that would be. I can't, me personally, I don't like flies. I don't know why God created them. I have to ask them someday because they are annoying. Now, we can refer to these insects, these flies, as pests. You and I as sheep, we have pests. I'll talk about one before I get into the condemnation, but fear is a pest, and fear has torment. Now, with that in mind, look to 1 John chapter 4. You gotta master fear. Because fear has torment. 1 John 4. Let's look to verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. That should rid yourself of a whole bunch of fear. For God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Excuse me. Because as he is, so are we in this world. As Jesus is, so are we to be. Isn't that amazing? Verse 18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect or mature love casteth out the fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Fear is a pest that you and I deal with, and that pest will put you and me in bondage. Romans chapter 8. So I don't want to be in bondage. Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 11. Romans 8, verse 11. This is a good healing scripture right here. But the spirit of him, verse 11, that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, Greek word is zoe, meaning make alive, your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we're not debtors to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Fear will keep you in bondage, church. But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit, you can look at most other versions, says, the Spirit's not an it. So King James missed it there. For the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, look here, heir of God, and you're joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. Now, God's not giving you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, a sound mind. And the more that you practice the love walk, the less you'll notice fear tormenting and haunting you in your life. Isn't that right? Now, getting back to the natural sheep that are dealing with these pests and these flies that are up in their nasal cavity, the Oriental. So you have to say that fast. Oriental. Shepherds had a salve that they put up the sheep's nose to kill the flies. Psalm 23:5 said, thou hast anointed thy head with oil. Mm-hmm. Isaiah 27 says, it is the anointing that destroys the yoke. So God's anointing will destroy those pests that are tormenting you as a human sheep of his pasture, right? Now, God's sheep have many pests to deal with, either thoughts or people or demons, works of the flesh like competition, jealousy, which cause sheep to butt and injure each other. Doubt, procrastination, the list can go on. Social stigma, inferiority, insecurities, confusion, discontent, misunderstandings, bitterness, and condemnation. Say condemnation. Some don't feel they're spiritual enough. Only because in a lot of cases they're comparing someone, comparing themselves with someone else, and the Bible says it's not wise. Look to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This reads better if someone has a New King James, or anybody have that? Because it's a tongue twister in the King James. Nobody wants to volunteer? Who has it? Lynn, would you realize you need the mic so we can be on tape? Please. You can come up there, sure. Sing for us. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. Don't compare yourself with one another.
For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise.
Thank you. God bless you. Look to Romans chapter 8. Thanks, Lynn. You have King James Bible, and you read it. It's a little tongue twister there. And I think it doesn't give clarity to the verse. Romans chapter 8. Now we're going to be talking strictly on condemnation. Anybody been plagued with that lately? You don't have to show your hands. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. So one of the ways that you could determine if you're in a lot of condemnation is, are you walking after the flesh? Because it says you'll have condemnation. The Bible says that. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law, verse 2, of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. This condemnation, this pest, nags Christians with thoughts such as, if you ever had this kind of thought, you don't really belong. You haven't done enough to deserve God's grace. Meaning they don't understand the grace of God. Now we talked about grace and favor, so you know that, right? Don't allow condemnation to crawl up your nose and hatch. Because it's worse than a sinus headache. It just keeps you in bondage and brings you down, down, down. Condemnation ignores the mercy of God and focuses on the aspects of punishment and retaliation. This too will bring tremendous bondage. You may want to get this. God's dealings are not punitive, but therapeutic. Okay? God's dealings are not punitive, but therapeutic. And God's mercies are renewed each and every morning. Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 3. Start with verse 21. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. You got to recall this to your mind. You could say that's called mind renewal, not mind removal. Amen. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. You know, the Bible says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. You don't need anybody to tell you don't get your hopes up. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. Be assured today, church, whatever you're going through, God is faithful. He'll bring you through it. Isn't that right? Look over to Psalm 30. Psalm 30. Verse 4. Maybe we've got to do a lot of this. Here's another, another exhortation to sing unto the Lord, O you saints. That's you. You don't have to die to be a saint. All you got to do is be born again, and then you're a saint. Sing unto the Lord, O you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment. Aren't you gracious? In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Condemnation will rob you of your peace and your joy. Say that again. The response was weak. Condemnation will rob you of your peace and joy.
Amen.
Still weak. Condemnation will rob you of your peace and joy.
Amen.
Good. You got your joy and peace back on that one. If you are under condemnation for any length of time, a hopelessness sets in. A sense of failure. Psalm 103. The enemy loves when you feel failure and stuff like that. That's not from God. Psalm 103, look to verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger. And for some didn't hear part 8, he goes and says, and plenteous in mercy. Don't you like that?
Yes.
Let's go over to the New Covenant, New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's look to verse 3. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Our sufficiency comes from God. Church, you know, in the first letter, says we've been bought with a price and we are not our own. I know some of you say, yeah, I got my house paid off. I own my house. And that's nice. But really, if the Bible doesn't teach ownership, you can own your house, but you have to be a steward over your house. The Bible teaches stewardship. Now, God wants you to be a good steward. Your parents here, if your kids weren't being a good steward, let's say you gave them allowance and so forth, they weren't working yet, over the finances you give them or the allowance you give them, would you give them a raise? Think about that. Now, God doesn't want to withhold from those who walk uprightly before him, but if you're not being a good steward over what you have right now, How do you expect God to bring the increase?
Amen.
It's stewardship. 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 Are you a good steward? Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. You know what? I want to find that. It's in 1st or 2nd Corinthians. I don't have it down here, but I want to read it for some of you that are doubting. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You ready? Are you there? Then we're going to come back. Verse 19. This is what you, some of you are thinking when I said about stewardship. What? That's what it says right there. Know you not that you are your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. For you, verse 20, are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That price was the blood of Jesus. And that's able to deliver you out of anything and everything. Verse 6, 2 Corinthians 3, 6. Who also made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses, that it was glorious, even under the law, for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. How shall not the ministry of the Spirit be rather glorious? You're under the Spirit, so how much more glory are you under? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. The law tried to produce life from the outside in, the law. But the weakness of the law was in your flesh. Verse 9 here in 2 Corinthians says, we are no longer under the ministry of condemnation. We have been justified in Christ. Romans 8:34 says, who is he that condemns? Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Condemnation is horrible. So how many of you would like immunity to it? It's terrible, huh? Like suffocating. Now, when God convicts us of sin, it's not because he's mad at you. It's because he loves you. And the wages of sin is death, and he doesn't want that. Okay. Conviction. So you know the difference. It's constructive in its motivation. It will show you the positive way to repentance, forgiveness, and restoration. The Spirit of God, John 16:8, convicts. It's constructive in its motivation. It will show you the positive way to repentance, forgiveness, and restoration. On the other hand, sin will inhibit and prohibit God's revelation of himself to you. And that's why people get into wrong doctrines. See? Condemnation only hurts us and puts you down. If you hang around with people that only condemn you and put you down, you ought to. You ought to hang out with some other people. I can tell you who you can hang out with that won't put you down is Jesus. Hang out with him. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Man, you got the world, the flesh, and the devil pounding on. Why do you need your so-called friends?
Amen.
Now, if they see you going astray and they come to you in the love, you'll know the difference. It won't be a put down. They're just trying. They're trying to help you out. You got to be able to discern the difference. And I know you do, right? I know you do sometimes, right? We okay so far? Okay, we haven't bored you to quitting time yet? Okay, good. Condemnation, thank you, only hurts us and puts us down. When God convicts, he always gives us hope to get out of it. But condemnation says, you're wrong and there's no hope for you, bucko. Isn't that right? Let's talk about the cell without bars. You got time? All right, Romans 5. Romans 5. I don't want this message to condemn you. Verse 15, Romans 5, 15. We're going all the way down to verse 21. And while we're reading this, think about this. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word, right? Verse 15, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. It's free. For if through offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sin, so is the gift of the judgment, was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one's man offense, death reign. Who's that man? Adam. Right? Much more they which receive the abundance of grace or the gift of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Now, in the old covenant, they were justified by the blood of bulls and goats. That didn't cleanse their conscience, so they were still under condemnation. But you, better covenant. You can't exalt anything over the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, Pastor, you know, when I was 12, I went into this gas station, and I stole a pack of Winston's. But you were so convicted, you brought it back, probably. You know, people get hung up in the past of things that have happened. A lot of things may have been punitive, hurtful, but it's in the past. God has no record of it, especially as you've been born again. It said the old things have passed away. Now, they will come back up. The enemy will fire that back up in your memory. You got to cast it down. You have to cast it down. You could sit there and dwell on it, and it won't go away by you dwelling on it. Cast it down. And, you know, why do you think that Satan's called the father of lies? He's always lying to you. What verse we leave off? 17 or 18? So we go to 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one man shall many be made righteous. Let's go back to verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one is the free gift that came upon all men unto justification. The whole world was lying under condemnation because we were descendants of Adam. But once you got born again, you are a descendant of a new Adam, Jesus Christ. Look over to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Verse 17. Well, we might have to start with the probably the most well-known scripture. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Excuse me. Now, you could say we're living in a time of darkness now, but you're still to be the children of the light. Isn't that right? Now, even though we talked about you're under the new covenant, you're under Jesus, the Son of God, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus operates through you, there are Christians who feel the weight, still feel the weight of condemnation, who feel trapped in a cell, but there are no bars. They flee, but no one is pursuing. They feel a tremendous weight of failure and guilt upon their shoulders. Yet there is no true load of guilt, because Christ has taken our guilt. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. He took your guilt, your condemnation, your punishment. Jesus Christ is our substitute, and he paid the price that you can go free. Condemnation is one of the biggest hindrances to your faith.
Yes, it is.
So take the blood of Jesus and get cleansed from it. Now, we're not done with this. We're just going to stop now. Okay?